speaking of the tongue, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. That's what the New Living Translation says, that surely this is not right, that out of the same mouth comes blessings and curses. And the Lord said to us that we should continue in what he says and to keep saying what he says. Listen at this: no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what we're going through, we have to learn how to discipline our tongue. And now the scripture actually says that's almost impossible. It says if a man can control his tongue, he's a perfect man. If he can control his tongue. And the only way you can control your tongue is through the power of the Holy Ghost. One of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, which means self-control. The scripture says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that word sound mind, that means self-control. God has given us, when he gave us the Spirit, he gave us the ability to control ourselves, including our tongue. And so James says, brethren, this should not be. It should not be that we bless and curse. And so I shared with you that the Lord just instructed me and put it on my heart that I should stay at home and rest. And of course, when he said rest, it didn't mean that I was supposed to rest from worship. I just didn't come to the assembly with the saints, but it didn't mean that he didn't want me to worship, and it didn't mean he didn't want me to pray, and it didn't mean he didn't want me to listen to the word. And so as I was at home, I was resting, and as I began to rest just for a little bit and sleep a little while, I realized as the Lord began to wake me up, I heard the word of God being spoken, and I knew it was a word for me. And I began to listen to the word of the Lord. I knew, oh, this was a setup. He was wanting me to come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the Lord told me to rest, but he was really saying, come unto me personally by yourself. I want you to rest. Come unto me and I'm going to give you rest. I want you to rest from your labor. Because what some of us may not understand is that many times it's a task. You come and worship and you come and praise the Lord and you just say, oh, hallelujah, we were so free in the Lord. But it's work for me. It's a labor. The scripture calls preaching laboring in the word. And when we come together, I labor. I labor in praising the Lord and then leading in worship and labor in praying that we all would come together and everything works right. And then I labor in the word. It's a job. It's not easy. Sometimes, it's a mind battle. Sometimes just doing the devotion, Pastor Sims, can be tough, huh? Sometimes it can be hard, Reed, just praying. Amen? Sometimes you have to build, before you get up before the people and pray, you got to build yourself up on your most holy faith. And sometimes while you are praying in before others and you're praying to lift up and edify the congregation, while you're doing that, many people don't understand. Something might be coming out of my mouth, but something else is going on in my mind because I'm building myself up on my most holy faith so I can speak the word of the Lord to you. I'm building myself up on the inside, in the inner man, so that what comes out of my mouth when I'm praying, singing, or preaching can bless you. So the Lord said, I want you to pull aside. And I want you to rest. But I want you to listen to my word. And his word for me was to correct my behavior. Correct my speaking. Because I would get frustrated. And again, we're not talking about cussing, but we're talking about cursing. When we're speaking negative about ourselves and about our situation and how things are going, and sometimes we feel like we're cursed, and sometimes we let those words come out of our mouths. I know I did, and the Lord said, don't ever let that be again. I don't care what nobody said to you in the past. I don't know what you heard. I don't care what you thought about it. I say you're blessed, and I want you to say what I say. And not only I want you to speak of yourself and say you are blessed, I want you to say about your people that they are blessed, and about your family that they are blessed. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, go with God. Say what God says and keep saying what God says. So James says, brethren, blessings and curses should not come out of the same mouth. And that would, I think we should add that that does include cussing. Even though I wasn't necessarily talking about cussing, blessings and curses and blessings and cussing. Are you with me? Should not be coming out of the same mouth. God wants you to grow and get to the point where nothing comes out of your mouth but the word of the Lord. Hello? Things that edify. The Bible says, let your words be seasoned with salt so that it ministers grace to the hearers. That means there is never a time that God is okay with anything coming out of our mouths other than the word of God. Amen? Let's turn over to Romans chapter number 4. As we said, Romans chapter number 4. And talking about keep saying what he said. Keep saying what he said. Don't just start saying what he said. Don't just say what he said when things are good for you and when things are going well with you. Start saying what he says when things are good and even when things are bad. When things are tough and challenging, keep saying what God says. Let blessings come out of your mouth and not curses. Curses are cussing. Amen? So in Romans chapter number 4, verse 18, it says, against all hope, the King James Version, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Are you with me? Let me turn over there in my Bible, Romans chapter number 4. I want to look at a few more of the verses. So it says, what is that? Romans 4, verse 18. All right. Now I'm there. So, this is how the King James Version says it. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. And that which was spoken by God. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. Do you get the picture of that? He staggered not. He He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform it. Now, I want to go back up to verse 17 because it says, as it is written, I have made thee. This is God talking to Abram. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Okay, the New Living Translation says it a little bit plainer. That is what the scripture mean when God told him, Abram, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who brings into existence what didn't exist before. All right. So we're talking about to continue to say or keep saying what God says. God came to Abram. That was his name at first, Abram. And God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. And at that particular time, he had no children. When he says you're going to be the father of many nations, that means you're going to have many, many children. As a matter of fact, he said your children will be as more or as the sands, the grain of sands on the seashore and the number of stars in the sky. God said to a man who was 90 years old, that you're going to be the father of many nations. That you're not just going to have children, you're going to have great, 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 great grandchildren. And it's going to be a multitude of children. And God said to Abram, I want you to say what I'm saying. And I don't want you to look at your body. So God told him that he was going to make him a great nation, give him a son, and give him many, many children. And God said it to a man who was 90 years old. And his wife was dead, the scripture says, in her body. Her womb was barren, and she was old, and she was past the age of childbearing, and she could not have any children. They tried. They prayed. They believed God. But God came to Abram and says, I'm going to give you many children. And I don't want you to consider, I don't want you to look at your wife's body. I don't want you to look at the fact that you're getting old and you feel like you're losing your strength sexually. I don't want you to think about that because I'm going to work a miracle. I'm going to work a miracle in your life. And here's the point. God said, Abram, I want you to say what I said, and I want you to keep saying what I said. Abram, I want you to say what I said, and I want you to keep saying what I'm saying. Say what I said, that you're going to be the father of many nations, and I want you to keep saying it. And that's what the Lord says to us. That's what the Lord said to me personally. And so the first thing that God does is when he comes to you, he'll give you a word. He'll give you a promise. And our promises are not few. We have many, many promises. The Bible's talked about the precious promises of God. And the promises of God are yes and amen. We have many precious promises from the Lord, and God will speak promises to you, and listen, he'll create expectation within you. So when the angel of the Lord told Sarah that she was going to have a baby by next year, by this time next year, the scripture says she laughed. Ain't had no baby all this time. How in the world am I going to help? Oh, okay. All right. But God said to Abram, I want you to say what I said, and I want you to keep saying what I'm saying, because God didn't just say it one time. But he says, I want you to say it just like I say it, and then I want you to keep saying it. And of course, we know that the particular way in which God told him that he wanted him to keep saying it was God changed his name. He said, you will no longer be called Abram, but you'll be called Abraham. And so even though you have no children, and even though you are getting older by the moment, and both you and Sarah's biological clock has ticked off, the clocks are no longer working, I want you still to say what I'm saying. So God said, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And I want you to keep saying what I'm saying. So the first thing God does is create an expectation within you. You know, I remember the scripture talks about one woman said, one woman was barren and as a matter of fact, she had no children, and a prophet came to her and told her that she was going to have a baby, and she said, now don't do that. Don't even tell me that. Don't even start all of that now. Look, I done gave up on having children. We've tried, and things have happened. So therefore, don't do that. Don't create this expectation in me. Get my hopes all up. And God was saying to her, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I want to get your hopes up. I'm not going to give you any false hope, but I want to get your hopes up. I want to get you to believing and hoping for the impossible. And God told Abraham, that's what I want you to do. So I'm going to change your name, and I want you to keep saying what I'm saying. God will create an expectation within your life. He'll create a hope and a dream within your life. And that's what he did to Abraham. And it says, Abraham's faith seemed to be in complete agreement with the power and constant faithfulness of Jehovah. Abraham's faith seemed to be in complete agreement, and that's what God wants from us. He wants our faith to be in complete agreement with the power and constant faithfulness of Jehovah. By looking at the outer circumstances in which he was placed, Abraham had no reason to expect the fulfillment of God's promise. He looked at his situation and he had no reason to believe that he was going to be the father of many nations. His circumstances said, no, it's impossible. You will not be the father of many nations. But God put him to the test and challenged him to keep saying what he was saying. So he says, I'm going to change your name. And every time somebody asks you what's your name, you're going to come into agreement with me. So, they were living to get pretty old back then. So, but maybe when God first gave him the promise, if my memory serves me correctly, it was about 20 to 25 years before he got the promise. God gave him the promise about 25 years before he gave him the fulfillment. So what God will do is create an expectation within you, and then he'll bring you to the point of exasperation. He'll create an expectation within you and then bring you to the point of exasperation. And y'all got to know, y'all, those of you who are here and you've been with us for any length of time, you have to see that God gave me an expectation just simply because of the name of our church, Bountiful Blessings. Plenty of blessings. And of course, being blessed doesn't simply mean that you got money. We are blessed not because of what we have, but because who has us. We're in the hands of Jesus. We're in the hands of the Father. So we're not blessed because of what we have, but because of who has us in his hands. And he said, and no man can pluck you out of my hands. That's why I'm blessed. And the scripture says, when you come to God by Christ Jesus, he blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And remember, we shared with you the blessings. And when it says in heavenly places, it doesn't mean all the blessings are up there in heaven. It means that's where all the blessings come from. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. All of my blessings come from the Lord. Somebody said, everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. He blessed me with all blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so God said to Abram, he said, I want you to say what I said. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you're going through, I want you to continue to say what I'm saying. So every time somebody comes up to you and says, what's your name? I'm the father of many nations. He started out like this. I'm the father of many nations. What's your name? I'm the father of many nations. Hey, what's your name? I'm the father of many nations. Where are your children? I'm the father of many nations. I'd almost say if it wasn't for the fact that this is God we're talking about, I would say this is ridiculous. This was a terrible setup. I'm going to put this man in a position where everybody's got to make fun of him. Oh, my. Oh, what, I mean, where you look like a fool. That's why we soon, and y'all help me remember, soon as we finish, we're going to say our confession of faith. And God told me I got to go back and change it because I didn't tell you. When he first gave me that confession of faith, we were saying every seat is filled in every service. And it got to the place where every seed began to be filled in every service. And he created an expectation in me. But there was always some days, there would be days where every seat was filled in every service and we had to go get chairs. But when he first gave me the confession of faith, it was every seat is filled in every service. And I was like Abraham. What? Every seat is filled in every service. What? Every seat is filled in every service. What? Every seat is filled in every service. Come on, say it like you mean it. Every seat is filled. Every seat. Oh, my God. Sometimes I don't like that about God. See, it's one thing to make me believe in you. It's another thing to put me on Front Street and make me tell everybody I believe in you. It's one thing for me to believe by myself, because when it looks like it's not happening, I don't look like a fool to nobody but me. But when you make me testify, testify about my faith, and when you make me testify about the word that God has given me, you put me on Front Street. And you make me look like a fool. So he makes me say, every seat is filled in every service, and it's about five of y'all in here. We broke the 200 barrier, which most churches do not break the 200 barrier, 200 members member barrier. We broke the 200 member barrier. And because we had 200 seats. That's when we first bought these seats, those purple seats, we had 200 seats, and we had to bring in the metal chairs. And so man, this is cold. Because it's even cold that he make me have to tell y'all this. Some of y'all saw it. I know it. I can't stand you, Gwen. I know it. Just, I know. I can't stand you either, the Reed. You in faith. I know y'all be getting all together. I know. I know you pray for me, but that ain't all. Y'all talk about me. Everybody talk. Listen, I ain't bothered by that. Tell me. You getting upset talking about people talk behind your back. That's true. Somebody talk behind your back all the time. And you talk behind other people's back all the time. You might as well quit lying. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I guarantee you, if your life depended on it, God would strike you down if he says, I'm going to kill you unless you can prove to me that you have never, ever spoken a bad word, a negative word, a doubt, or nothing behind anybody's back. How many of y'all can say, I ain't never, ever said nothing negative behind somebody's back? Yeah, I know. Faith and Ree and Gwen and Hattie and all of them get together. Lord Jesus, we need to pray for Pastor. I don't care. I know. So I started out saying, every seat is filled in every service. And then I just changed it just a little bit. So no, you ain't with me, Hattie. It was a process. Trust me, baby. I didn't jump from every seat is filled to every service to taking it out totally. No, I ain't do like that. I started first with every seat is filled in every service. And I saw it happening, and I kept saying. And I kept saying. But see, first God gives you an expectation, and then the next point is exasperation. He brings you to a point. It's like he kills your dream. Because even 200 ain't what I saw. Just 200, over 200 people, that ain't what I saw. When he said bountiful blessing, even faith, even the vision, even the pattern where I got it from was way more than that. Do you know what I'm talking about, Faith? The church where I got that name from had way more than 200. It was over 5,000 people in its fullest, during its time of ministry. Bishop G.E. Patterson. Way more than 200. So I ain't expect no 200 folk. Honey, I had big dreams. Bountiful blessings. I saw our blessings running over, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People, money, blessings, healing, deliverance. I saw it all. That's what I saw. But honey, God will create an expectation within you, and then all of a sudden, you're being tested. It's a process. So I started saying every seat is filled and every service. And then the next thing I wanted to qualify, we believe. Yeah, that's what I went from. Every seat is filled in every service, talking with faith and boldness and complete understanding. That's where I was. I had serious boldness. But while saying I believe, my faith was wavering. Did you hear that? So I started out with every seat is filled in every service. It was a statement of faith. When we first started saying every seat wasn't filled in every service, So it was an expectation of what God was going to do. And then when my faith began to waver, and I have a way with words, so I qualified it by saying, we believe God. So that's to say it may not happen. We believe in God. No, that ain't what he said. It wasn't the name of the church. Wasn't we believe bountiful blessings? No, bountiful blessings. We believe God to fill every seat in every service. But when my faith began to waver, I said, we're changing a little bit. We're believing God. And it seemed like it was still a statement of faith, but it wasn't. It was a statement of exasperation. To the point that the devil began to talk to me and say, now see, you're prideful anyway. That's why you won't. That's the way you preachers are. Y'all want a big church, and so that's your problem. You're prideful. And God reminded me of his word. He said, "No. Before you begin to say that, I showed you my word." And in my word, I said, go into the hedges and the highways and compel men to come into my house that my house may be filled. That's what he wants. The harvest is plentiful. What's the problem? The workers, the laborers are few. But God said, I want my house to be filled. I want every seat to be filled in every service. But God will do that to you. He will bring you. He'll make you put your faith out on Front Street. So every time people asked Abram, what was his name? He had to say, the father of many. And everybody saw that he ain't got no children. But he kept believing. And it says when he had no reason to believe, he kept believing. God is saying to us that I have created an expectation in you. I tell you who you are. You don't tell me who you are. I created you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I say who you are. Yeah, Adam might have named the men. Adam might have named the animals, but I named Adam. So I say what you are. And the scripture says we are blessed with faithful Abraham. All of those who are in Christ are blessed with faithful Abraham. God gave him an expectation, and then God brought him to a point of exasperation. He put his faith to the test, put it on Front Street, made everybody look at him and perhaps laugh at him and say that he's a fool believing like that. That makes no sense, but he kept calling himself Abraham. My name is Abraham. And God said, that's what I want you to do, and that's what I want you to say. I said, you are blessed. And remember, you are blessed not because of what you have, but because who has you. So you are blessed because you are in Christ. And then when he happens to give you some money, that doesn't mean you are even more blessed. Baby, you've been blessed all the time. I just manifested the blessing that you really were. I just manifested the blessing that you are. When you get the house, that doesn't make you blessed. You are already blessed. That's just a manifestation of who you are. When you get the car, when you get whatever it is, when you get your healing, it's just a manifestation of who you are. God says, I want you to start out saying what I'm saying, and I want you to continue to say what I'm saying. And I don't care when you get to the point of exasperation. I want you to say what I said. So, when you begin, you know, you first get saved and you're gung-ho, you try to clean up everything in your life, want to clean up everybody else in your life. That's expectations, the expectation of faith. But if you keep walking with God, there's going to come upon an exasperation. Because you're going to have something in your life that ain't right, that you can't seem to get right, that you keep on struggling with. And God is going to say to you, I call you the righteousness of God. I said to you that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So I don't care what you see in your struggle and how exasperated you get, still call yourself what I called you, the righteousness of God. We have some days that we feel strong and we'll speak the word of the Lord. We are more than conquerors. Oh no, we're not just overcomers. We are more than conquerors. And then God lets you looks like he lets you begin to lose some battles. We're more than conquerors. If you're not careful, your testimony will change. You'll stop saying what he said. He'll let you lose some battles and expect you to keep saying it no matter how hard it gets. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. We are more than conquerors. He wants you to keep saying what he said. They that are with me is more than they that are against me. They that are against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You may not feel very churchy sometimes. Some people can get on your nerve and you don't feel very churchy. But you are, if you are part of Christ, you are part of his church. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If I say you're blessed, you're blessed. I'm not an Indian giver. I say you're blessed and you will forever be blessed. I say you are the righteousness of God and you will forever be that. And there's going to come a time where you're going to feel a little lonely and you're going to feel by yourself. But you have to remember what I said to you. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall separate me. What you mean? I'm going to send some depths. You're going to go very low. Nothing shall separate me. I'm going to send you up to some high places. And there are demons and rulers of wickedness in high places. But I'm going to send you to some high places. And you're scared of heights. But I want you to know nothing shall separate. Have you ever been on a ladder that was weak? He said, I'm going to take you to high places, but I want you to keep saying, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Nothing. I'm going to let the devil bring up your past. I don't care what he brings up. Oh, man. You did something in your past and nobody knew anything about it, but all of a sudden it came out. God said, I want you to remember, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not height, nor depth, not things in the present, not things in the past, nothing in the future, not life, not death, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. I don't feel very lovable, but I'm still loved. I'm still loved. God said, I want you to say what I say. I'm going to start out giving you an expectation. Then I'm going to bring you to a point of exasperation where you feel like giving up. But you have to remember what my word says. You're more than a conqueror. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I want you to keep testifying to what I said. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel. Faith for Abraham is our example. And so it says, even though Abraham had no reason to believe, to expect the fulfillment of God's promise, yet he believed the word of the Lord and looked forward to the time when his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Oh, and the author here says, dear soul, have you not been given, you have not been given just one promise, but like Abraham, you've been given 1,000 promises, and you have been given the example of many faithful believers. That's what the scripture says, that seeing that we are encompassed about, are surrounded by so many clouds of witnesses, let us look to Jesus. Let us run this race with patience, looking to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Therefore, it is simply to your advantage to rely with confidence upon the word of God. Let me say that again. Therefore, it is simply to your advantage to rely with confidence upon the word of God. And although he may delay in sending his help, oh, sometimes he delays and brings you to the point of exasperation. And the evil you are experiencing may seem to become worse and worse. Do not be weak. Instead, be strong and rejoice. For God, listen at this, for God usually steps forward to save us when we least expect it. Fulfilling his most gracious promises in a miraculous way. He generally waits to send his help until the time of our greatest need, so that his hand will be plainly seen. He'll wait to send help so that nobody will get the glory but him. He'll put you in a situation that you can't help yourself. Nobody else can help you. Nobody can do anything for you but God. He'll bring you to that point and let you stay there so that when he brings the blessing, you will say, praise God. Ain't nobody got to ask you to do it. You will say, praise the Lord. Just like the redeemed, you will say so. But as long as you got some strength, he can't bless you. Not with what I promise you. If I bless you with this, that's why he told Gideon, you got too many folk in your army. Because I'm about to get a victory. And I don't want anybody to think they got the victory but me. My glory I will not share with another. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this glory. I'm going to open this door. I'm going to raise this one from the dead. I'm going to heal this one. I'm going to bless this one. And I don't want anybody, you and nobody else, we'll get the glory for what God is going to do. Somebody say, hold on. Yeah, it's hard. But hold on. He chooses. Wow. Yeah, because we want to ask the question, why, God, why? He chooses this method so we will not trust in anything that we may see or feel. So God will... That's what God will do. He will bring you to a place of expectation. Got you believing and hoping. And then he'll bring you to a place of exasperation. But if we hold on and continue to confess his word and hold on to your testimony, as the scripture says, hold on to what you got. Don't let any man take your crown. Hold on to what you got. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your work in the Lord is not in vain. After the point of exasperation, God is going to bring you to a point of elation. And he's going to make you laugh just like Sarah. Yes, yeah, he's going to make you laugh. He's going to blow your mind and do something that only God can do for you. He'll bring you to that point of elation. You say, well, thank God. Come on, you know God has done some things for you that nobody else could have done. And he says, I want you to learn a lesson from that. That's why I let you go through that. Because what God, when God does that, he's not going to do it just one time. That's the process, and it's going to keep happening. Expectation, exasperation, elation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Elation. It's going to happen again. What? Expectation, exasperation. You're going to get there again. Thank you, sir. You're going to keep getting there. And he wants you to learn the lesson that this is the way I operate. This is my method. So that God doesn't expect you, he doesn't give you an expectation, bring you to the point of exasperation, and then bless you and give you elation just so when you get another trial, you're going to do the same thing and blow that one too? No. At some point, he expects you to grow. The one fruit of the Spirit that God says must have her perfect term is patience. Patience must have, you got to give her a term. And all that you're going through, God says patience has to, she gets her term. Expectations. But then you go through exasperation, where patience must have her turn, where you wait on the Lord against all hope. It's not a mistake. God knows what he's doing. You've been here before. God said, I've been here before. I did it before, and I'm going to do it again. So he chooses this method so we will not trust anything that we may see or feel, as we are so prone to do, but will place our trust solely in his word, which we may always depend upon. That's his word. We can always depend upon it, no matter our circumstances. Remember the very first time. I remember the very time for faith, if you will, to work. Oh, wow. Listen. Remember the very time for faith to work is when our sight begins to fail. When I can't see anything. Because the just shall live by faith, not by sight. The very time for faith to work is when our sight begins to fail. And the greater the difficulties, the easier it is for faith to work. For as long as we can see certain natural solutions to our problems, we will not have faith. If you can see how it's going to work out, you don't need faith. Faith never works as easily as when our natural prospects fail, when it looks like all hope is gone and you don't have anything but a prayer. You don't have anything but a prayer. And sometimes you get to the place where you ain't even got a prayer. That's when faith really works. That's when God can step in. So the Lord says, I did this, and this is my method. Expectation. Everybody say expectation. We don't like it, but expect it is coming. Exasperation. Everybody say exasperation. But if we hold on, God will give us a reason to praise him. Everybody say elation. Yes, that's when he manifests his promises. Will you give the Lord a hand praise for his word? Not only give him a hand praise for his word, but give him a hand praise because he's faithful to his word. He will keep his promises. You may have to wait a while, but remember the promises. Yes! And amen. Yes! and amen. No is not in there. If I promised it, there is no no. There is no no behind my promises. All my promises are yes and amen. If I said it, I'm going to do it. If I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass. I'm not a man that I should repent. I'm not a man that I should lie. It's got to happen. For you have done so much. And I will bless your name. Come on, help me sing. It is to you, Holy Father.